What's more dangerous, European debt or the response to it?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, when we look at business and the economy as Wall Street begins its trading day. Well, since Wall Street is dark for Memorial Day, we turn to Europe, where there is an argument today about whether the debt crisis remedies are worse than the disease. First, where are world markets? European shares are flat now. Asian stocks were slightly higher overnight. India said its economy grew by more than 8% last quarter. Wall Street will get back at it tomorrow. The Dow dropped 122 points on Friday to close at 10,136. Now, our bureau chief in London joins us live. Stephen Beard, hello.
Hello, Bill.
So Europe's central bank is being accused of a dangerous response to the debt troubles there. What is the charge?
Well, the European Central Bank has started buying certain Eurozone government bonds, mainly those of Greece and Portugal, the ones that nobody else wants to buy. The bank says it's doing this to keep an important market, the Eurozone government bond market, open and not seizing up the way that some money markets seized up at the time of the collapse of Lehman Brothers. As we saw then, the freezing of credit markets worldwide tipped the global economy into a downturn.
And why do some critics think this is a bad idea in Europe?
Well, the Germans in particular are paranoid about this. They fear that the ECB is losing its independence because it's coming under pressure to help out particular heavily indebted governments. And they feel this action also is inflationary because it's pumping a lot more cash into the Eurozone banking system. Now, the ECB president today denied both these accusations. He said the bond purchases were temporary and controlled, and they did not take the pressure off the Eurozone governments to reduce their budget deficits. I have to say, many angst-ridden Germans seem unlikely to be reassured.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Worries about contagion, Greece's debt troubles spreading to Spain and to the U.S., have scared investors for the past month. And today, Chinese officials said even Asia should be worried. An Asian slowdown could send the whole world back into recession, as Bill Marcus reports from Shanghai.
China's economic point man is Premier Wen Jiabao, and today he said Europe's fiscal sneezing is giving the entire world a cold. In a speech to Japanese business leaders, Wen said the worries of a double-dip recession mean it's too early for China to pull back on its half-a-trillion-dollar stimulus package. Said the premier, quote, "There cannot be the least relaxation." Andy Rothman analyzes the Chinese economy for the stockbroker CLSA. He says continued Chinese stimulus would be a reversal. China's been pulling back on its spending since last summer.
First of all, he's got a message for people in Europe and the United States, which is don't start celebrating too soon that the economy's back on sound footing and you can withdraw your stimulus.
Premier Wen added that massive government spending around the world could prevent a full recovery, and China's been urging the U.S. to trim back its debt. One topic Wen avoided was adjusting China's currency against the dollar, though Rothman says he expects that to happen soon, too. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Memorial Day, Monday, May 31st, at Marketplace.org. Memorial Day weekend might seem like time to buy sunscreen, but the Food and Drug Administration wants new rules to change the labeling on that product. Here's Marketplace's Brett Neely.
The SPF number on sunscreen only tells you how well it protects against UVB radiation, which causes sunburns. But when you're out in the sun, you're also exposed to UVA radiation, which is also harmful, says the FDA's Matt Holman.
There's all sorts of damage that can lead to potentially skin cancer. There's damage that can lead to premature aging.
When rules for sunscreen labels were first written in the 70s, no one understood how harmful UVA radiation was. The proposed FDA rules would create a new rating system that would say how well a given sunscreen protects against UVA. Stephen Wang is a dermatologist and works at the Skin Cancer Foundation. He says it's about time.
Right now, the consumer has no way of knowing which product provide good UVA protection.
But the rules probably won't be ready until October. And sunscreen makers will probably get another year and a half after that before they have to put the new labels on their products. I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
These days, workers in most industries are protected by a variety of laws governing safety issues and worker rights. But so-called domestic workers, like nannies and housekeepers, are excluded from most of these protections. A law being introduced in New York State tomorrow would change that. Marketplace's Alisa Roth has the story.
Right now, if a domestic worker is mistreated, say she's forced to work overtime without extra pay, or she's let go without warning, legally, there's nothing she could do. The new law would change that. Priscilla Gonzalez is director of Domestic Workers United, the organization's a kind of unofficial union that's been pushing the bill.
The Domestic Workers Bill of Rights in New York State is going to guarantee basic rights like sick days, holidays, vacation.
Gonzalez says her organization figures there are around 200,000 domestic workers in the New York City area, and there are many more in the rest of the state. Annetta Bernhardt is policy director at the National Employment Law Project.
And they really need the protection, the full protection of workplace laws and the full enforcement by government agencies. And that's really what this bill is trying to accomplish.
If it passes, this law would be the first of its kind in the country. But advocates in other states, including California, are hoping to replicate it. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Today, Pakistan reportedly lifted a ban on Facebook after the social networking site apologized for and removed a page deemed offensive to Muslims. The page encouraged users to post images of Islam's prophet Muhammad. Many Muslims regard visual depictions of the prophet as blasphemous. Pakistan's Secretary of Information Technology says Facebook has assured the government that it won't happen again. We are ending the worst month of May for American stocks since 1940. The Dow dropped almost 8% this month, and the wider market fared even worse, which makes it so cool and refreshing to just say the words summer rally. You may have heard that phrase before, but is there anything to it? Do stocks tend to heat up in the summertime? What an excellent question for Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Bill.
We've heard of this summer rally, this mythical beast. What are the odds of one happening this time?
Well, statistically, the odds are excellent. For the last 100 years, June has broken even. July and August have both gone up more than 60% of the time. So statistically, a summer rally is a lock.
But Alan, that's history. We are always reminding people on Marketplace that, as they say, past performance is not a guarantee of future performance.
Yeah, you're a killjoy. You know, it's like on Wall Street, they always want people to be optimistic and they always want them to buy. So they confuse history with destiny.
They say that stocks are a good performing investment over the long run. So doesn't that mean we would expect that historically almost any month is a positive month?
See, that's right. And as luck would have it, I have sitting here before me the answers. And of the 12 months of the year, September has been a loser. And the others have gone up anywhere between, 52 and 63% of the time.
Okay, so summer actually has done a little better than average.
Yeah.
And how are you feeling going into summer? Alan, what do you think is in store over the next 3 months?
Well, I can tell you what I know is in store, which is I am not going within 10 miles of a United States Treasury bond because I think the interest rates are going to go up. And
those rates are crazy low right now.
The rates are crazy low, which means that the prices of the bonds are crazy high. So I'm not going to do that. But I'm probably going to sit there and do little or nothing the whole summer because I'm trying to see what's going on. I've still got considerably more than half my investable net worth in stocks and mutual funds. And I just hope that continues to be the case when it's Labor Day.
Doing little or nothing all summer. That sounds good. Alan Sloan of Fortune Magazine, thank you.
You're welcome, Bill.
For a tourist in Los Angeles, this holiday weekend could mean a visit to the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Or there's another popular attraction, the Guided Star Tour, where you get to see the gates in front of celebrity houses. Well, Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll now introduces us to an L.A. entrepreneur who's taking tourists through the hood.
How's everybody doing?
Good. Good. Great.
All right. If nobody moves, nobody gets hurt.
Slide all your money to the front. It's just a joke.
Alfred Lomas was a member of one of L.A.'s toughest gangs for years. Now he tries to get former gang members into jobs. His latest brainstorm, hire them to be tour guides to their own dangerous paths.
Okay, so many of you may have questions as to what L.A. Gang Tours is. I'll tell you what it's not. First of all, what it's not and what you won't get is you won't see us in wife beaters, throwing dice, selling dope. You won't get that.
You won't get that because Lomas has made a deal with local gangs. They let his tour bus roll safely through their neighborhoods. The tour goes to industrial and working class areas where gangs thrive. It also rolls past the L.A. County Jail and the site of one of the biggest gang fights between the Bloods and the Crips. But the only actual gang members you meet are on the bus. One by one, they file up to the front to talk about their lives on the streets.
Hey, how y'all doing? What's up? that's what we say in the hood. Anyway, my name's Scorpio, man. I'm from the Jordan Down Projects, and I've been involved with the culture since I was a puppy. Did over 22 years in jail.
This is the kind of up-close encounter Kevin Johnson came for. He's a pre-med student at the University of Southern California, and he's one of dozens of people who paid $65 to take the L.A. gang tour today.
Being from Texas, I wasn't necessarily exposed to gang culture, and I'm fascinated by it.
But not everyone is so enthusiastic. Many local residents and business owners think the tour is a terrible way to represent their neighborhoods. Francisco Ortega is a human relations advocate for the city of Los Angeles. He's heard a lot of those complaints.
How are you proposing to make money off people's misery? And that's sort of one knee-jerk reaction, one gut feeling you get.
Despite some pushback, the gang tour is catching on. Early tours have been sold out. Lomas says his goal is to provide even more jobs, and the tour is not the end of the line. Lomas' next stop, a gang museum. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
And finally, returning to Europe now, it seems half of the continent is mad at Germany for being reluctant to help Greece, while the other half is mad because Germany is helping. But last night, Germany got some love. The annual Eurovision Song Contest went to 19-year-old German Lena Meyer-Landrut for her hit song Satellite. A singer from each Eurovision member country performs, and voters from each country decide the winner. Meyer-Landrut's victory is being seen as a vote of appreciation for Europe's leading economy. A Hanover newspaper carried the headline, "Europe Does Love Us." This is the Marketplace Morning Report. You know, you can see how the size of the Gulf oil spill compares to your hometown. Superimpose the oil spill onto your city when you go to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.